as you probably know, or should know, there are already approvals out for the next 7 to 10 years for residential development. And I want to know how each one of you would ensure proper infrastructure goes in before those houses go in, so we can avoid some closures like the Gordon Courtright closure. How will we keep those residents working, shopping, and otherwise contributing to the community right here in Guelph rather than driving out of town? And what percentage would you dedicate to affordable housing for low-income families and students?
What kind of question is that? That's unfair.
We'll start the answer then with you, John.
I apologize.
Would you care to answer,
no,
John?
No, I don't have an answer for that.
Billy Craven?
Well, that's the most mixed up question I've ever heard. Or been asked. But as far as affordable housing, as I mentioned in my talk, we must have at least 3% of our budget for low income housing and also social housing. They talk about infrastructure for the next 3 to 7 years. Like Gordon Street is a wonderful example of what this council and other councils have done in the past. They close the road, and then instead of giving the shopkeepers a bit of a break in their taxes, they spend $2.6 million to keep the road closed or to keep the businesses open. And they have to go to all their budget, rest of their budgets on the public works to squeeze other products. This is nuts.
Thank you, Billy. Okay, Corey?
Yes. On infrastructure must precede development. That is the only way it's going to work. We must keep up with the infrastructure repairs on a plan that is consistent. Get the work done. We hear different amounts of our leakage problems, 14 to 20%. Infrastructure must be planned, and we must stick to that plan. And as far as a new development, infrastructure, again, must precede development. On shopping, before we talk about shopping, we must talk about opening the door to business and commercial. I would say that by opening our doors to new businesses and commercial retail development, we will give the choices to the city of Guelph. We will work within our plan, and where a plan is not working, we will look at each amendment that is suggested to our official plan, and we will look at each item on its own merits. I would say that we would want to give the same choices to our citizens as we do, as every other community around us has. Affordable housing is a responsibility of us all, and it has to be part of our budgeting process.
Thank you, Kate. Karen Farbert?
In terms of making sure that we don't move it forward in approvals prior to having the infrastructure in place or the necessary funding to provide that infrastructure, that's what the Development Priorities Plan is one of its goals, which was implemented this term. And so what it allows us to do is to tie the number of units we will approve in 1 year with our ability to provide infrastructure. And what we've been doing each year is cranking down on the number of units so that we can take that 7 to 10 year supply down to a more manageable 5 year supply. So that's how we can make sure that we can tie our developments with our infrastructure needs. With respect to jobs in Guelph, the purchase of 420 acres of land for new industrial assessment, approximately $475 million in new industrial land assessment, that coupled with an aggressive program to attract businesses will bring jobs and businesses to Guelph to keep people working in the city. Currently, 70% of people live and work in the city, and we don't want to see that eroded. From a commercial perspective, I think one of the strongest things to have a healthy commercial sector is to provide certainty to investors. And when you make wholesale changes to your official plan, which is not just a guideline, that's not an accurate description. It's a legal document. It's a community investment plan. If you make wholesale investment changes to your official plan that are unplanned, you pull the rug out of underneath from investors in this community and create an uncertain environment. Over the long term, that's going to hurt our city in the commercial sector. On the affordable housing side, we have a policy in place that 25% of new homes need to be in the affordable housing range. That is not going to address the social housing issue, which is a subsidized issue. It gets at a range where people can afford housing in a certain area, but it's not going to deal with the people who need extreme help in terms of subsidized housing.
Thank you, Karen. And Kurt.
Thank you for the question. I'll start with the infrastructure part first. I agree with Kate that as far as planning for infrastructure, it does need to be the first thing that goes in to ensure that we are properly setting it up, making sure that it's going to be able to be feasible, that it's not going to put a greater taxation on our resources as they already are. And I think one of the best ways to do that, first of all, is to make sure that we're using top-of-the-line materials in the product that we're producing. Also, I think we need to make sure that we're properly studying the areas that we are building up in order to make sure that these are sustainable developments that we're spending our money on. We need to make sure that there's enough supply for these areas in all areas of the infrastructure. And we also need to make sure that we revise these plans and audit them on a regular basis to make sure that they are meeting up to our standards. As far as affecting the economy in that area, first of all, we need to plan our developments so that they don't interfere with our businesses. And if they do, we need to make sure that we're able to help those businesses that are most affected, whether that's through subsidizations, tax breaks, whatever the case may be. We need to make sure that these businesses aren't being harmed by the city's plans and the city's growth. On the social housing part, I think the first thing that we need to do is put the $557,000 that we've cut out of that budget back in there. We need to make sure that we're spending the money that we have in these areas properly, and we should not be walking away with a surplus in our social housing budgets. There's no reason. We need to make sure that the money's being spent, it's being spent properly, and it's being spent on the people who need it the most.
Thank you.